Nigeria Radio, bringing Nigerians in diaspora up to speed.
Spirit of Nigeria Radio, bringing Nigerians in diaspora up to speed, the authentic source of Nigerian information, positive Nigerian energy all the way. All right, now we're still definitely on Diamond Day in Nigeria, and we are moving on to the issue of the day. Well, not exactly the issue of the day. We're still looking at different perspectives on the Diamond Day in Nigeria, and of course, looking at the celebration yesterday, President Muhammadu Buhari's speech, and so many other issues in Nigeria. And we'll be talking to Mr. Olawale Okuniyi. Yeah, we'll be talking to Mr. Olawale Okuniyi, Director General, Nigeria Political Summit Group. And he will be giving us his own opinion. He'll be giving us his take on Nigeria at 60 in general. Okay, so Mr. Olawale Okuniyi, of course, like I mentioned, is the Director General, Nigeria Political Summit Group. And unfortunately, I was about to put him on, and we lost him. Okay, well, in the meantime, we're still trying to get through to Mr. Olawale Okuniyi. The network is really bad. We just hope that he can cooperate with us. Let's do this. Let's hear from him. His own perspective on Nigeria at 60, President Muhammadu Buhari's speech, and, you know, a couple of things, key things that, you know, that are really important to Nigeria as a country. All right, so we have him back. Good day to you, sir.
Good day to all Nigerians.
Yes, sir. How are you doing today, sir?
Quite good. I'm quite fine.
All right, sir. You're welcome to Spirit of Nigeria Radio.
It's my pleasure to be with you.
Thank you very much, sir. Well, I hope it is not too late to wish you happy independence still.
That's not too late. Not at all.
All right. Thank you very much, sir. Okay, so we're looking at Nigeria at 60. And, you know, we're looking at our growth, we're looking at our achievements as a nation. And most importantly, we're looking at President Muhammadu Buhari's speech yesterday, you know, and we know that it's a whole lot of comments, there's a whole lot of, you know, reaction towards that particular speech. But at the same time, we want to look at it from your own perspective. So my very first question is, what do you make of the president's speech? You know, what's your opinion of it?
Well, I think it is a speech that tries to motivate rather than direction to the future course of events. Tries to motivate, tries to harmonize, it tries to extract the power from them, try to inspire the people, you know. But I also expect it to quite be concrete direction as to how healing, national healing will be achieved rather than preaching. That's the same roadmap to national healing, which of course was what we did as Nigeria with the Summit Group, with national elders and leaders of thought from across the country yesterday, will converge to give direction on how national reconciliation and healing can be achieved. And then to set up a 40-member high-powered commission to guide that and then to bring about political constitution reform. I expect much from the president but well, maybe we'll be doing that very soon. I don't know, but there should be more concrete activity, program, to show this is what we are going to do, rather than just preaching and trying to start people, without guidance. So that's my take and what I make out of this yesterday.
All right. Thank you very much for that. You mentioned something about the Nigeria Political Summit Group. And you said that you did a couple of things yesterday. Permit me, please. Can I ask that? Can you give us a detailed explanation of what exactly is the Nigeria Political Summit Group? What is it about? What does it stand for? What does it represent?
The Nigerian Political Summit Group, in conjunction with the National Consultative Front, led by former Speaker of Nigeria, Bugari Nab, and Professor Tony, decided to facilitate consultation across lines of stakeholders in Nigeria.
To try
and see how we can bring about national reconciliation.
Okay.
Away from blame and accusation of one another. Mm. We say, okay, how do we, in the light of calls for secession,
okay,
separatism in Nigeria, and then growing tension around insecurity, banditry, and terrorism,
okay,
you know, which causes the instability of the country, and which can never allow Nigeria to have prosperity, because we cannot wish to have prosperity in the midst of instability.
Absolutely.
And insecurity.
True,
therefore, for us to be able to bring about national prosperity, we decided to bring about eminent stakeholders, leaders of thought, and elders of the country, to in one day, national political summit for national reconciliation and healing. And it was well attended by senior citizens, eminent statesmen and women, just regarding who was an that road should be pursued, the road for national reconciliation and even through what we call political constitutional reform.
Okay.
And the 14 member commission to drive that was initiated.
Okay.
Keynote speech of the conference was delivered by a highly respected elder statesman and astute diplomat, Dr. Ahmed Jorda, I think it's about 90 or 87 or 90 now. And in attendance, Adaji Jangoni Akasaya, so 90, justified a band of Diana to pro Chief Ali Ubala UK Abuji. At independence. Then the wife of Vic was there. The daughter of Awo, Ulo was there. The wife of Tony Anini, Josephine Anini, Yamani was there. And Obon Victor Atai Ujega, former INEC chairman, Solomon Asemota, you know, also for the eminent leaders, the wife of Father Musuloma, all of them, both male and female, state men and women, present, and then there was agreement that we need to exchange blame and move the nation forward into a constituent assembly, ordinary, where we can fashion a popular people's constitution through a referendum, rather than going through the piecemeal ritual of amendment of the National Assembly. So, that was what was achieved yesterday, and going forward, we are going to feature many activities around that. This is independent of government, and very shortly, it will be engaging government, resourceful young leaders, so that we can have an all-inclusive process.
Okay.
That is so that we can achieve a popular product out of the process. So that was what was well eminently attended. It was a first class national service of Nigeria yesterday. We have expected government to facilitate that concrete terms rather than surprising or pushing on the community. You go ahead and put a structure to achieving what you want them to do. You can preach from everyone to heart, but if there are no systems and structures to achieve it, it will remain in the air.
Definitely.
Because the people will be feeling existential condition. And someone will not enter into their head anymore. And so you can have all kinds of banditry going on while you are preaching. You have kidnappings going on. You have insurgency. You have the political tension around secession. People calling for secession. People calling for, they want to break away from the country because of, out of frustration or what they call injustice or inequitable, you know, system. So you have to deal with that practically, concretely. You cannot solve that by sermonizing. You have to put a structure and system and process in place. That is what government does. Government is not about you take action, because it's not a church or mosque. They are not running a church or mosque or motivational, you know, organization. They are running government, governance. So at all times there must be national consultation. And that is what can bring national unity. That can bring national unity. There must be process. So I expect the analysts around the president at some point where we put up all policies of all watching. But there are new people around him who should know what we have decided in the past to say we want to achieve. And how we say we want to achieve is beyond sermonizing and preaching. Yes, you can preach, but there must be structure. Preaching alone does not help. You must put in place structure. You must put people to what you call action, concrete policy. Okay, this is what we want to do. Can we get ABC from this region? Can they discuss rather than blaming each other and then speaking through harms and violence? If you allow them to speak through violence, they will. So if you don't want them to take them out of the field of violence and put them in round table, then you engage them. I don't know who is thinking strategy in government. There must be strategies in every government. There must be a place with that strategy, that special advice on strategy and policy. We begin to think, how do we get this done? But you can do a lot of things and without having impact, because there is no strategic engagement of the society. You must think, how do we deal with this? And these are issues that we worked on leading to the 2011 election. When we put in place policies of what is in the all is in the year to do, nobody is doing that. Everybody is just doing like a civil service. When you have people who are political leaders working as civil servants and they are talking of technocrats, I begin to wonder, even Chief Awolowo, who are all technocrats, how to retrain them to be politicians. You cannot lead government agency without being a politician who understands the manifesto of your party. But when people are foisted, they are brought from, they say they have PhD in something. A PhD in your field does not amount to PhD in politics, but there must be political, ideological education before they can put you in retail. It happens. You don't see people go to parliament without going through the rank because they have money or they have PhD. Yes, you can have your PhD. You must go and learn in the political academy of the party. And that is the only way you can dispense the manifesto of the party. When you see a kind of lopsidedness, warped politics in Nigeria, people who did not even join us during the Nadeko period, who have not studied anything about political philosophy of the country or of their party, have filled government positions. Yeah, they can't perform. There will be instability. There will be insecurity. because you can't build something on nothing. So there is no two ways. You must get people who have put their heart and to learn politics. There is a room for political education. And that is why you see now that the parties have political academy. There are debates, there are seminars. You have to learn it. You have to learn leadership. And leadership is for service. So Nigeria is everything that's half big. People don't even know anything, no clue about government. They are the people that are running short. So this is problem, and this is problematic.
All right. Thank you very much. You've mentioned so many points that are really, really key in Nigeria. And, you know, first of all, I caught something that you said talking about unity in Nigeria.
Let's
look at the unity of Nigeria. You know, Nigeria is experiencing a whole lot of disunity from different tribes. But what could be a possible solution? You know, what can we do you know, to prevent this issue of disunity and breaking away and, you know, having a tribe wanting to form their own nation? What can we do, or what should the government be doing, you know, strategically?
That is what we started to do yesterday. We must bring the people around the table. We must bring the people around the table to discuss, to negotiate. The unity of Nigeria must be constantly and consistently negotiated, because the only permanent thing in life is change. The unity you have today may not be the same tomorrow. So you have to keep talking, dialoguing and negotiating it. It is very essential, it is crucial for stability to be brought about. It is important. And that is what government can do, can set up a national commission for national understanding, unity, and cohesion. Whatever you want, national reconciliation and unity, you have to set that up. That must exist. You must continue to think about what is the strategy. Because Nigeria needs more than any state or any country, because of our diversity, which is a conflict line. Diversity in religion, diversity in ethnicity, diversity in culture, diversity in so many ways. You know, government must consciously and deliberately, you know, set up that template, a platform and process. All the time, like every 1 year or 2 years, there is no amount of money spent on national unity and cohesion that is more. Because you have to rework your system. And that's what Britain, you know, from 1948, they have been doing that. And we have been doing it. Rather than government do it, you know, they don't do it in Nigeria. Only the Babangida administration, even when people said it was 419, attempted so many dialogues, so many, and that was how they had the best election, which it by itself, Scotland, in the June 12th election, because there was so much of debate, National Political Bureau, the Cookie Commission, the MAMSA, there were so many avenues for debate. And then there were people, inclusive government, bringing to, but eventually, you know, the sad thing is that the man himself, people at the high point, it has been the best government Nigeria has ever had. The best government with the way it was, you know, but then it ended up as, you know, a major problem, because it by itself annulled the wish of the people, as exemplified in the June 12th election, which is annulled. That was, and again, the 1989 constitutional process, because they did the process well. There was an elected constituent assembly, which we even canvassed yesterday. It's an elected constituent assembly, which is the right thing to do. Yes, the Jonathan Conference was good to the upward that it allowed people to talk. But that is not the perfect thing, because delegates at that level were appointed. You know, but the delegate to any constituent must be elected by the people. You must go through election. And that was what the Babangida protest did. I, as a body, I studied all the processes since 1886 to date, and I thought that that was the, almost the best process, but which was bungled two ways. One, the report of the Constituent Assembly that came out, or the Constitution, 1989 Constitution, which didn't see the light of it, was doctored. Was doctored by the Armed Forces Ruling Council, led by Abangida. The second was annulment of the election. You know, when you look at all the processes, five processes, debate, discussion, you know, even when we even criticized it, we wanted it to be better. So that is what government can do to create stability, to create coalition. You know, must or continually generate understanding among stakeholders, and that needs discussion, dialogue, consultation, national consultation, and that's what we are seeing. Very important.
All right, thank you very much for the clarity, sir. Okay, so looking at what can we do as a nation 6 years after independence, looking at all the key areas in Nigeria. To move forward as a nation, what are the key areas, you know, that require development? Because, you know, the president mentioned quite a couple of things, and permit me to quote something that he said. He said that no government in the past did what we are doing with such scarce resources. We have managed to keep things going in spite of the disproportionate spending on security. This is those in the previous governments from 1999 to 2015 who presided over the near destruction of the country have now been prudent to attempt to criticize our efforts. Now, if we're looking at this particular issue, what the president mentioned yesterday, it looks like, you know, like you mentioned, like instead of trading blames and saying that the administration ruined or this administration didn't do too well, affecting my own administration, it means that the next president that is going to come will probably be saying the same thing. What can we do to put an end to this? And, you know, Nigeria, maybe 61, 62 years, we can see such improvement that Nigerians are yearning for.
The first thing to do is to create to bring about national consultation. Because if you don't have unity and you don't have peace and stability, you can't have economic progress and prosperity. Forget it. Nobody will invest here. The urgent step to take is for the government to drive a major national consultation, national engagement, national dialogue process, and then get the nation into the Constituent Assembly, get the National Assembly to amend Section 8 and Section 9, okay, which foreclose the sovereign powers of the people over their constitution, and then ceded it to their elected agents in National Assembly. That is an aberration. I am an expert in constitution making. No, I don't want to be modest to say I'm an authority on this matter. You know, and I know that there's no way you can force a constitution on the citizen of the country by government, with a government or government agent. That will not be the constitution of the country. The constitution of the country is owned by the citizens directly. Mm. Every citizen, and that is what we design as government. And how his government will be run, after which people are elected to run government on the basis of the provision of the constitution, and then to make further laws. There is a difference between a law and a constitution. There is a wide difference. A law is made out of the provision of the constitution, which is the ground norm that runs the country. It's a law. It's made up by governments and so as the policy, but they must be in tandem with the constitution given by the people, all the people together. And any policy or law that runs contrary to the provision of the constitution or government given by the people, to the extent of the contrariness you know, a decree of God that becomes null and void and of no effect. That law, that policy will become null and void, non-existent and of no effect, because it is in variance with the constitution given by the people. So if you go to government and begin to make law and policy, and if they compare it side by side with the constitution, they see that it's at variance, instantly it becomes illegitimate, and you can't implement, you can't enforce it. Unenforceable. Nobody will obey it. And that's why you see all kinds of disrespect for our law everywhere. One, the people do not own the constitution, so they will disrespect, they will violate it, make law, because it is not in 1999. The military forced a decree, by way of decree 24, in what is called 1999 constitution. That's an abolition. Nigeria does not have a constitution in the true sense of it. I say I'm an authority on this matter, and I want to stand to be challenged. Nigeria today does not have a constitution in the real sense of it. It only has a decree. It has a law governing it, and it is only Nigeria that we are still using a decree or a law. A decree is a law made by the military, by force. A law, you have an act of parliament, which is a law by parliament, maybe democratically elected. But they are laws, they are not constitution. The constitution is the entire political agreement of the people. They agree, and then they give it for the government of the nation. It's not too bogus. Every other law and steps and policy are taken based on the provision of that law. So any law that is made by government that is contrary to the provision of the constitution given by the people becomes null and void. But in this case, there was no even constitution given by the people at the outset of the present democracy. And when we met General Abubakar Abdusalami to say that you cannot give back to a democracy, a civil rule, without a constitution, he told people like Chive now of blended memory that when he done it, the people already do not have faith in the military. And so we want to quickly only leave it. But that the civilian administration coming should make it the first duty of giving the country a people's constitution. Which was not done. The Obasanjo conference was criticized. It was appointive. Was appointive conference. He was not elected. And even the constitution is not. It's a lot of abdication. So you need people to guide people in government. Those who know about constitution making and the nation building, who are experts in that direction, they need to guide government in government. Because people just jump and cheap government is a cheap party. And you see money that, you know, coming to do IS meeting and then buying goods. Kind of shenanigans in the country. That cannot be caused anywhere. So we have to revert back to getting the nation to have a constitution, a legitimate constitution of the people. That is the first point. If you don't have it, you will continue in instability forever. Because the people cannot relate to what you are running, because they are not part of it. It is a process, a fundamental spiritual process. It is fundamental to the spirituality of the nation. And people don't know what they are doing. And so if the foundation is faulty, what can the righteous do? You cannot do anything. You are going nowhere in Nigeria until you do the right thing. You will go nowhere. I'm saying that somebody who has seen me, who has worked at it. And General Buhari himself knows this. He was part of the process of giving an independent constitution to NACO. In 2006, we all met. I was seated with him and Chief Enau of blended memory, and we agreed to do the right thing. That was even against the sitting government then that he was doing the right wrong thing. But today, you know, people just come around to change and then distract whoever is on the seat. You find all kinds of satans and find them in government, people with money, money-making ventures. Just find people because they have money. That must stop. The stability in Nigeria will stop it because the boys will get on the street and they will stop it by force. And then you see all kind of violence and disobedience. Civil disobedience. So you go back to the IT, you call stakeholders, how do we do this thing? This is our country. Can we sit together? Can we all work it? Can we all agree? Equity, fairness, justice. You don't need to go because a bigger country is better than a smaller one. A bigger country is better than a smaller one anywhere in the world. So it's an advantage our diverse but they have turned it to a cost and liability to Nigeria, right? Become an impediment to development. And you find all kinds of schemes going on everywhere. Nowhere is excluded. Nowhere, no arm of government is excluded. All kinds of corruption. It's the foundation of Nigeria, the constitutional family, is corrupt. It's faulty. You call a decree a constitution, and then you put it with some provision that will manipulate and exploit the people. And then you want to build a corrupt foundation. And so, therefore, you will have to witness corruption. You cannot use the EFCC 200, cannot stop corruption in Nigeria. I say it as authority. As a matter of fact, it will first, corruption will first start in the office of the president because of the way it is structured. It is not anybody's fault. It is the way we are structured. Successive governments have failed. Any government in Nigeria will fail. We fail to impress the people. If you look at the foundation, why it is failing, and you change it, and then you see everything will move right. You have to build systems, you have to build a framework, you have to build institutions, and then you build government on the governance on it. So it's unfortunate we all where we live is where people worship money and capital and everything. So it's unfortunate some of us are speaking out of knowledge, and knowledge is power. You know, I hope people will hear people who are enjoying, and it's craziness, it's hopelessness, it's despondency. You know, for people to think that they will amass wealth and then the ones that they are deprived will be looking at them at some point. They will become insurgents. They will turn them to prostitutes. You will turn them to armed robbers because you are taking too much that you don't need, mad like a bacha. And you are starting it, you are starting it. You are starting it. And then you don't want the dialectical consequence is that there will be so much crime in society. And then you will be starting, you will start to build walls around your house. You will climb that wall one day and break it down. What you need to do is to build human capital, but you must first deal with your foundation, which is the constitutional foundation of the country, to create equity, fairness, and justice. And that every Nigerian, irrespective of tribe and creed and religion, must be involved on inclusive process. And then even when we make mistakes at that, in that process, everybody can take responsibility and say we made it in good faith. We all made it. But not one for military to impose constitution. And then, we are all still amending and panebiting. There is no amount of panebiting of a decree that will make it a constitution. Quote me any day then. There is no amount of panebiting what is deemed as a law that will transform it to a constitution. The process and procedure for making a constitution is different from making law. It's fundamental. It's the grounder. So when people don't know and then you put them in power, they will mismanage because they don't know. And they don't know, and they're compound fool. because they don't know. These things are land. In practical terms, it's not about these are land. And I told General Muhammad Buhari this. I told him, several, I sat before and I told him, his power is what you get. What are we going to do with it? How do we do? We need one point agenda. So we work this foundation. Because when we fail, if we work with this foundation, we ourselves will fail. No matter how we wish we want to succeed, we will fail. We can't use this foundation to be working in the FCC, ICPC, build 200 anti-corruption agencies. They will fail. Corruption will become more. Because the foundation upon the country is corrupt. It's corruption. The country is corruption itself. So why are you saying you are fighting corruption? Before you know your own house, the fighter of corruption, you have the corruption. So if the foundation be destroyed, what can the righteous do? So people, I think that we need to get together, leaders of thought, leaders of conscience, resourceful young leaders, immediately, and say we have to stop this insecurity. Not by buying arms and ammunition. People still do that too. Buy arms and ammunition. That's not it. Hey, guys, you have to talk. If I become president of Nigeria today, it's just 1 point. If I become president of Nigeria, it's 1 point. I clear it. And I hand over. Let everybody hear it. I clear it, the foundation. And I go to Nigeria, I hand over power. What do I need power for? Let everybody, nobody will then have the let's not have anything. Because I've said it, stop them. You can't see, you'll be exposed. You'll be isolated. You'll be resistant. As you are seeing it, you just make it easy. And you find out that those who do not have any business in governance or politics, or will not go there. Because it won't be a money-making machine anymore. It's going to do or die. Where people die because of election. Buy hands and ammunition and send, because they know that's where is that survivor. It's a survivor platform. Just break it. Can we teach? Can we agree? Can we? And then you exonerate corruption. Anybody who knows that, yes, you know, Georgia, but you can use anything. But you have a constitution of the country, which is the constitution, which constitutes Nigeria and sustains the idea of Nigeria as corrupt May 1st in 1999. As a decree, then you are in soup. So this is it. We have to do something urgently if we want results. Not to sit down and be patient and be standing and be sermonizing to me when I'm hungry. You are sermonizing to me when I'm hungry. The sermon will not enter my ear. Absolutely. If you are sermonizing, you are preaching to me. I have not eaten. I have not, I'm mentally dying. And you are telling me, let's have hope. The country, and I see that you are in one bullet. I see you talking. You are not sharing with me. And then you are saying I should. Hey, the people will pick up the guns. The people will pick up the guns. So you must look at the cause of why the people are picking up the guns and being bounded. If I was going to be a president today, I would do that. One time, it's gone. Yeah, we equalize everything. Because in any case, I can't take more than 1 minute. You know, the afternoon, I can't take it. Why do I have to? Politics is a criminal enterprise in Nigeria. The country will become a failed state. When you make politics is essentially leadership. It's not criminality. But in Nigeria, it's criminality. Politician, I want to become a politician, but not this kind of, because the moment you enter into leadership, you are a politician. You know, you are a politician. But in Nigeria, it's a wrong that it's despised. When you hear politician, people run. Because what the politics is running Nigeria as a criminal enterprise. As a matter of fact, the politicians run Nigeria as a criminal enterprise. And so the country has become a slave state. And the poverty capital of the world. So where do we go from here? We go back to the drawing board.
So you
drive the major consensus. You bring everybody, and I must appreciate the Northern Elders Forum.
Okay.
For this the Northern Elders Forum has come out very progressively. Mm. I must commend them. They have said to everybody now that they want a referendum-driven people's constitution, not a piecemeal amendment, job for the boys of the National Assembly. Let us do this thing once and for all. If you want to spend the billion, let us spend it once and for all. There is no amount of money too much on nation building.
Absolutely.
Because there is no amount of money that can quantify the lives of people we are living. Every day we lose 1,000 lives. Every day for no insurgents, governors are being attacked. Governors are dodging. Governors are having peace negotiation with bandits. I've never had that in Katsina, the president speech. You have government saying that they're abandoning the peace deal with the president because they are not respecting it. That's become a criminal state. That's become a criminal enterprise. When the government is going and it's called, look at Borno. The government is being attacked and people die. Security aid died, 30, 20, 10. And then you are still sitting here. There's an emergency. You die by the time they went out of me. And Lagos, you guys will realize that we're in big, big trouble. This one is in big trouble. We have told them these things. We have some people like me, we have stopped talking. We'll allow new people come out to be talking now. And that's nothing because what I'm saying, I stopped talking. Thank you, then that one that I was talking. I saw the command meeting. Stop talking with action. They say they want to go. They are declaring Dudua Republic, Biafra. Adewa called me here and Adewa, they said they want to declare Adewa. I said, let us go to home. Why would you declare Adewa? Let's go to summit on October 1. Tell them to calm down. Let's go and discuss and negotiate. Why would they be starting out in my republic? For what? It's better to be in a bigger country. If the government doesn't work, let us tell them. Separatism will not tell anybody will become victim and casualty. And we have to balkanize the country. But people who profess unity are the ones foisting disunity. Too greed. And mismanagement of the poverty. We must walk from knowledge base. We must walk. Stealing and then you say you are doing anti-corruption. And then stealing is going every year. Well, God help us. We are praying. We will not, maybe after this, I'll just keep short again, washing things, let people begin to agitate. We have spoken.
I feel like if people like you do not say these things, then it won't sink at the end of the day. You know, we can't afford for you to not, to stop talking. We can't afford.
We have to stop because maybe our silence will be golden. Hmm. We have spoken. We spoke. I kept writing. Hey, this thing, there was no Boko Haram even then. There was no Boko Haram. We kept writing from 2000, we started the IJ. There was no Boko Haram until the people who call themselves, but who are not politicians. Those in government are not politicians. They are not politicians.
So what would you call them?
They are mercantilists, traders. They are not politicians. So people should not spoil the title politician or the tag. Politicians are leaders who engage in service of their community. They are devoted to it. and every other person can do their business. But this one, mercantile traders, exploiters, and so on and so forth, because that is what the system has created. The system itself is foisted as corrupt. There is nothing anybody, even if I get to government today, if I'm not careful, it will change the grace of God, because that's the system. And if you don't follow that system, you are taken out. Isn't it? What I like about the Musa who said, the money I'm spending, how do I know that it's not a product of corruption? He said it, and I talked about it that year. He said the money he was spending, that how do I know that it wasn't a product of corruption? Because the foundation is corrupt. It's corrupt. So no saint here. Nobody's come and saying things. And he's saying, I mean, there's even no good man on earth. So let's forget it. Well, let's watch the agitation. But we have put in place the process. I hope people will appreciate and just support that until the bubble bursts. Because it will bust. It will bust. Anarchy. The center will not be able to hold. And the anarchy will be loose on the earth. So that's my point. That's my point. We need to quickly drive. Because it's not easy. It's easy. Get the people around, get those who are concerned, let them work out in popular, legitimate, generally acceptable constitution through a popular process, citizen-led, and everything will fall in place. Mm-hmm. Everything, but you can't go and be greedy and the corruption in the middle. Mm-hmm. You will continue to build anti-corruption, and there will still be bigger corruption.
So basically,
even the parties are foisted by money bags, political parties. If you don't have money, you can't run for parties. Mm. How do you do that? If you have principle, you can't. There are why himself the does have become, but there has to be some package. I told him. I want to say, I told him that, generally, there's no way you will get this thing out, except we walk around certain capital. There's no way. Because you haven't got the money. Yes, you have created the need and popularity. But then, election day expenses, if you are not, they will keep manipulating it. Because the people have been impoverished. So there are more to say, but let's put it in our. I put it in my memoir. Put it so many things, so many things, so many things. We put it in our. But I just want to advise that to bring national consultation. It can take 2 years. Let people be discussing. Let them have hope that they want to do something. It is the way to douse the tension. But let them be talking. The people want to let them say, okay, this is the future of the country. Okay, we want to do this. Well, this is what we want here. People will have hope. Not just forced policy. You force policy on people, and they become, you toughen them, you beat them underground, they become hardened criminals. You can't run government by force. Cannot run government by force. It will succeed. And that's why people always oppose military and they become unpopular at the end of the day. But they want to run government by force. You know? So these are issues. These are issues.
As a matter of fact, you've dug deep. You've gone really deep into the issues, and you've brought, to light a whole lot of things, giving us a whole lot of clarity, talking about the Constitution. And, you've made us understand that not until there's a reform in the Constitution, then whatever we do, we might not be able to see progress. And, talking about, I was going to ask that, because the reaction of Nigerians yesterday, you know, on the speech that the president gave, it was a bit too harsh. And I was saying it this morning that I think that Nigerians are reacting, that Nigerians' reactions is
People are hungry. People are hungry. They are frustrated.
But, you know,
that's why they are doing that. I can appreciate why they are. People are frustrated. We expect something that will create an Eldorado in process. And say, we are doing it. We don't expect it. I can't be hungry, and you be preaching, and I know that you are not hungry now. Yeah, I'm hungry. The Bible will say so. I think in James, he didn't give me what, and he said, God be with you. God bless you. He said, God bless you. Yeah, we can. And I see that, and hey, can't you see? Can't you, your eye, can't you see? God gives us leaders. God be, we are not saying amen. God gives us leaders. Because mercantilism, militarism, and militarist and mercantilist joining together, slave masters. It will work. Instability forever. So we must be careful for not for good people not to become casualty and victim of this system.
Amen. 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 Thank you so much, Mr. Wale Okuneyi. Thank you so much for this knowledge, for this discussion. It has been absolutely enlightening, you know, talking about what we need as a nation. Thank you so much, sir. I thank you for your time.
My profound pleasure to say this at this point for now, but maybe I'll keep quiet again and watch.
No, sir, please, we do not need
this. No, we have spoken. Go and read Google and see all of these. Too many. We have overspoken. But there is no research. There is no strategy. In government, nobody is doing the research and then the turning out strategy. I thought it was Governor President Jonathan that appointed Orunto Douglas of Desert Memory. He died even before the end of the government. He was strategy and SSA strategy and research. So he was connecting with the people. He had set that discussion with me at some point. And I told them, we can, this is what you will do. And I had to put things together. If you want to hear today, the last effort that culminated in the conference was initiated and put together by me in Nakwa Ibom. So he said, this is it. And 7 days after he announced the national conference, coordinating conference led by Okuyomi, they announced it. It's a strategy. You want this place to be stable. You want this place to be peaceful. You want this place to be prosperous. This is how to work. And they did it. They have put in so much effort. And coincidentally, the inauguration of that conference was done on my birthday, March 17, 2014. Coincidentally, by divine hand of God. So I looked at it. I said, wow. You unfortunately again, I have my phone, my new phone that I took to, stolen at that conference. I don't know whether by state agents, whether by, I don't know, you know, they can do anything. But for me, they are made of divine hand. So, we are doing what we are doing by commission. And we are doing it. And we are courageous doing it. We don't want to have any friend or whatever. We want God to preserve the friend of the people must not suffer. People are dying every day, 1,000 every day, and we are sitting down here. Doing what? It can't be the government that I have to bring. It cannot be. It cannot be. When you have people who are not involved in that process, surrounded and hijack and case, how can you look at it? People were nowhere when we were fighting the battle and struggling. When we started mega summit movement. Next year, Buhari will sit with Adu Adepo. We are saying that we want to end the one party state of PDP. And making the presentation. And then all the leaders, Ojukwu, Kingsley Breakthrough of Blessed Memory, Brother Musa, Aladi Jakonde, Chief Olufalai, you know, Eminem sat down with General Buhari, with everyone, Aladi Atiku Abubakar. And we said we want to change this, only for it to become a mirage. So we write something, we write. We are going to write. I'm just praying that it's as if we have labored in vain for upward of 30 years. And then we are still here. Upward of 30 years labor. Not a much well, trying to serve the country. And then people are, there is none of them that I do not know personally that we have. That is none of them. I'm disappointed. May God help us. Thank you.
Thank you very much, sir. Thank you so much. And we do hope that something will be done. And definitely Nigeria will be great again. We really do hope.
Amen.
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 Thank you
so much, Mr. Wale Okoneyi. Thank you for your time and thank you for your contribution on Spirit of Nigeria Radio. All right, sir. Please do enjoy the rest of your day.
Thank you. It's my pleasure to be with you.
Thank you.
Cheers.
Bye, sir.
Bye.
Yes, sir. Wow, that was absolutely a very enlightening interview or discussion with Mr. Wale Okoneyi, Director General, Nigeria Political Summit Group. And this is, in fact, a very enlightening conversation. Okay, we get to wrap it up here on the issue of the day. And, of course, we're still celebrating Nigeria, Diamond Nigeria. Yes, definitely. We're still celebrating Nigeria. Diamond Day Nigeria on Spirit of Nigeria Radio. Okay, we got to wrap it up. Yes, stay tuned to Spirit of Nigeria Radio. This is to inform our listeners that all views expressed on any of our radio programs are strictly the opinions of the guests. Hence, they do not represent the opinion of Spirit of Nigeria Radio.
Spirit of Nigeria Radio, bringing Nigerians in diaspora up to speed. There's a place.